It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Tonight, not a single senator voted against this $2 trillion rescue bill. Senate has pivoted from one of the most contentious partisan periods in the nation's history to passing this rescue package 100-0.
Mitch McConnell last night, early morning hours, very happy to have passed a bill and have the Senate senators be able to go home. I'm going to try to be as positive as I can be, but I have to tell you, I have this sense of foreboding, and I'll tell you why. First of all, Mitch McConnell is happy that the Senate, he was unhappy, that it was very contentious a couple of nights ago. A lot of that contention came from people that you're familiar with, like Rachel Bovard, who is a frequent guest. Rachel was actually reading the text of the bills and tweeting things out. Senator Tom Cotton picked that up and passed it on to other generally mild-mannered, unflappable senators like Susan Collins. And there was a lot of anger on the Senate floor when they actually saw what Democrats were trying to put into this bill. So they ended up being up very late the night before. We told you about that, couldn't reach an agreement. And so Senator McConnell is very relieved that the Senate now is back at peace and they get to go home. I'm not relieved. I'm not relieved. But maybe some of you will be. There's $2 trillion of money. And so some of you will be getting checks, one-time direct payments to Americans of $1,200 per adult, making up to $75,000 a year, and $2,400 to married couples making up to $150,000 with $500 payments to children. And then all the business provisions. I cannot possibly tell you everything you need to know about this 880-page bill. You can find it other places. Let me just say there's lots of money for almost everyone. The one thing that they did put in the bill was they made sure that anyone who owns hotel chains, who was in the executive branch, cannot get remunerated. So in other words, this was directly written so that President Trump, who has, you know, makes his livelihood on worldwide hotels. I'm sure there are more things for him to make his money on, but that was, you know, a poke in his eye because, of course, he should not get any relief for his hotel chains. That was a personal, you didn't hear him talking about that, but I'm telling you that was part of what was in the bill. But, of course, there were a lot of other things in the bill, and many people that you and I trust feel that this was a good thing, that we had no other choice. I remain the skeptic. I have to tell you, I just remain the skeptic. I don't see how throwing all of this money so quickly at all of us is really the solution. In fact, the Democrats are already talking about, oh, we're going to need more. We're going to need to come back. And I want to just echo something that a listener sent to me. He's a small business owner in Oklahoma, and it's Jerry Hunter. And he sent an open letter to the president and the legislators, and he said, please slow down for a moment. Think this through. As a nation, we find ourselves confronted with a twofold problem, a virus and a financial crisis. Clearly, the first begets the latter. I'm not a chemist or a microbiologist, so I'll leave the search for solutions to the virus itself to far smarter persons. The latter, however, at the very least, deserves a thoughtful process which carefully weighs all the factors. And he says, this is not a time for a reactionary response. I'm deeply concerned that that's what's happening here. And then he goes on and gives some very practical advice. Jerry, I thought your letter was excellent. I actually passed it on to people that are in the know. But obviously, the congressman, the Senate, didn't read it. It's not passed yet. This bill is going to be passed over now to the House. It already probably has been overnight. And Nancy Pelosi, of course, already got, you know, not all of her wish list, but quite a bit of it in the bill. Let me just tell you, out of the stimulus, they're calling it stimulus. I'm not sure that's the right name for this bill. Gone are mentions of mandatory early voting, ballot harvesting. So we talked a lot yesterday. I asked you to call your senators about this, asking them, please do not provide for early voting and mandatory voting at home, because it would have been a tragedy. So what they did, or travesty, what they did instead was they gave $400 million now that are going to states for them to use as kind of a slush fund. That's what I'm calling it. So the states can use it any way they want. If they want to do these projects that will enhance voter fraud, they can. It's up to the states. Good governors and good secretaries of states won't do that. But it's at least we saved ourselves from having a federal takeover of our elections. But we had plenty of money for them. We also have money for the Kennedy Center. It's down to $25 million, so it's not quite as bad as it was. Union favoritism things. Many businesses that take a government loan would be obligated to remain neutral in any union organizing effort. Now, I'm giving you all the downsides more than I am the positives. I recognize that, and that's a justified criticism. But I am concerned. Steven Mnuchin has been negotiating with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi seem pretty pleased. Steven Mnuchin is not a conservative, and that bothers me. Yeah, it does. And so $2 trillion, but the senators get to go home. They're concerned about their own health. I heard that from a source. They want to get out of Washington because several of them, five Republicans, are already self-quarantining. And I heard that John Thune is not feeling well. He's gone back to South Dakota. So the Republicans are diminishing. I don't know why it's just Republicans, but they are. The Democrats have stayed on pace. I don't know why they're healthy and the Republicans aren't, or why they're not self-quarantining and the Republicans are. I have no answer for that. But the other part of this is, you remember that I told you yesterday that Lindsey Graham and two other senators, Tim Scott from South Carolina and Rick Scott from Florida and someone else whose name I can't remember, but Lindsey Graham went on the Senate floor and said, you know, this is a poison pill. We will not pass that. We will not give you our votes unless you remove this. But last night they decided, well, they would not put a hold on it. So the poison pill went through, and this is what it is. Heritage Action for America says this: the unemployment insurance provisions in the CARES Act threaten America's workforce. Instead of protecting workers, they create a situation in which employees are better off being fired than remaining employed during this pandemic-created economic shutdown. As currently drafted, the CARES Act will cripple the economy by pushing people away from their employers and onto unemployment insurance. And there's more to say about that. It was with Senators Graham, Sass, Tim Scott, and Rick Scott. So, but they caved, and so the poison pill is in there. And that means that those of you that you'll make more money, at least in some category of persons, I can't be specific about that, if you don't work. And many people are concerned about that. And the left loves that. They don't want you working. It's better that you receive government money and become more and more dependent on government. So we're finding a transformation of our culture, even as we, you know, sit around eating our popcorn and whatever else we're eating during our self-quarantining times. I have more information for you. A lot of really trustworthy people, again, that I trust, say this was necessary. I'm not a financial person, except my father was a businessman. I think I have a kind of a sense of common sense about business, but I just I don't see why they had to rush this through. I really don't. Are any of you hungry yet? I know the stock market is struggling, and I know the small businesses are struggling. Maybe help, strategic help, pointed help, but not this massive giveaway of cash to people yet. I think in time there will need to be some help, but this is like a rush, and that concerns me. So now the financial people can contradict me, and that's fine. I want you to be right. I want me to be wrong. Okay, so I want to tell you some other things. Governor Northam in Virginia has issued an executive order that makes it a criminal offense to hold a church service attended by more than 10 people. So he is banning people. It's not just church, but there's no exemption for churches. So churches are forbidden from Bible studies of over 10, groups of over 10. At the same time, abortion clinics are remaining open, and that is in Virginia. And I have to say, that's what happens when we are scared about getting sick. Perfect, isn't it? Perfect. Scared to death about getting sick, and so we say, so the Constitution can be just thrown out, and your rights to assembly and free association, they don't matter anymore. And it's okay. Governor Northam or the federal government suddenly tells us you can't do this and you can't do that. We are a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And yet we are willing to lay down our civil liberties. Now, how do I feel? I'm not saying, look, I'm reading all these stories. I want to get into some of the really horrendous things that have come across to my attention about the coronavirus itself. I am not denying that it's taking people's lives, especially in Europe. Tomorrow you're going to hear an interview I did with someone in Spain. I recorded it earlier this week, but it's about what's happening in Europe. And it just makes me weep to think how little prepared they were and what the death toll is and how devastating this is. And, you know, you talk about economies creaking. Those economies over there were already creaking. Their healthcare services creaking. And so this is truly a worldwide tragedy. America is probably in better shape than any country on the globe, maybe except for South Korea and a few others. So President Trump issued a statement yesterday. He's been hinting at this, but he actually made it clear yesterday. He was in an interview with Bill Hemmer, and I want you to hear what he said. This is clip 5.
During our town hall today, you threw out a date where you think America can be working again. And that's Easter Sunday. Yeah. That's 19 days from now. How did you come up with that day?
Well, it's 19 days, but add another 7 because we've been doing this now for 7. So that's from the time we heard about it.
7 and 9.
From the time we close it up. So you could add 7 to 9. Look, Easter's a very special day for me. And I see it's sort of in that timeline that I'm thinking about. And I say, wouldn't it be great to have all of the churches full? You know, the churches aren't allowed, essentially, to have much of a congregation there. And most of them, I watched on Sunday online. And he was terrific, by the way. But online is never going to be like being there. So I think Easter Sunday, and you'll have packed churches all over our country. I think it would be a beautiful time. And it's just about the timeline that I think is right. It gives us more chance to work on what we're doing. And I'm not sure that's going to be the day, but I would love to aim it right at Easter Sunday. So we're open for church service and services generally on Easter Sunday. That would be a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it would be a beautiful thing to all of us, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to be able to sort of open the economy and be back in church on Easter Sunday morning? But of course, the press and the left doesn't agree. This is an exchange with the president right after that, during the briefing of the afternoon. This is Paula from Paula Reed of CBS News. Let's listen. Clip 6.
Mr. President, you tweeted earlier linking the closing of the country to your election success in November. Is this Easter timeline based on your political interests?
What do you mean by election success? No.
You tweeted. You said that the media wants the country to remain closed to hurt your
opposition. No, I think the media. Yeah, no, the media would like to see me do poorly in the election. I think
lawmakers and economists on both sides of the aisle have said that reopening the country by Easter is not a good idea. What is that plan based on?
Just so you understand, are you ready? I think there are certain people that would like it not to open so quickly. I think there are certain people that would like it to do financially poorly because they think that would be very good as far as defeating me at the polls. And I don't know if that's so, but I do think it's so that that there are people in your profession that would like that to happen. I think it's very clear. I think it's very clear that there are people in your profession that write fake news. You do. She does. There are people in your profession that write fake news. They would love to see me for whatever reason. Nobody's done the job that we've done. And it's lucky that you have this group here right now for this problem.
All right.
Or you wouldn't even have a country left.
Or you wouldn't even have a country left. And he's right about that. I'll be right back. Sandy Rios in the morning.
That changed my life just from that ultrasound picture.
When it comes to choice, the Ministry of Preborn offers the ultimate life-saving choice by providing a free ultrasound. When an abortion-minded woman sees her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life.
I'm going to keep my baby, and I'm going to keep growing, and I'm going to be a great mom.
Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country, and their mission is to help save babies' lives and souls through love and compassion and the message of Jesus Christ. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today we pray for Michael Missel, Inspector General of the Department of Veterans Affairs. His office conducts investigations, audits, inspections, and evaluations to promote economy and efficiency in VA programs. John 6 verse 12 reminds us not to be wasteful with our resources. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." Right now, with this in mind, would you pray with us? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask for guidance for Michael Missel as he works to ensure efficiency in the programs for our veterans. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and folks, Liberty University believes a private Christian education should be affordable to everyone. That's great, right? It doesn't matter if you're from California or Maine or anywhere in between, you may qualify for up to $20,780 over 4 years through Liberty's Middle America Scholarship. For more information, text MAS to the number 839-858 today. Again, that's MAS to the number 839-858. The freedom-loving citizens of Los Angeles are getting a stark lesson on what happens when you elect power-hungry Democrats to office. You get fascism. Mayor Eric Garcetti announced that non-essential businesses that refuse to shut down will face severe consequences. KTLA reports the mayor has launched a business ambassadors program. That sounds nice, right? Well, the ambassadors are supposed to put pressure on non-essential businesses to shutter their stores. According to local media reports, the ambassadors, along with deputized city workers, will visit non-essential businesses and demand voluntary compliance. Should a business refuse to comply, the ambassadors will alert the LAPD. The mayor warned businesses who refuse to cooperate will ultimately face misdemeanor charges, and if need be, the power and water will be shut off. This is what authoritarian rule looks like, folks. Fascism. And don't think it won't happen in your town. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Is that while more and more countries around the world are shutting down to stop coronavirus from spreading, Donald Jameson Trump is preparing for a grand opening.
President Trump now says he wants to reopen the country for business by Easter, even as health officials warn the coronavirus pandemic will continue to worsen in the U.S.
I'd love to have it open by Easter. Okay, I would love to have it open by Easter. I will tell you that right now.
Easter's a very special day for me. And I say, wouldn't it be great to have all of the churches full? You know, the churches aren't allowed, essentially, to have much of a congregation there. So I think Easter Sunday, and you'll have packed churches all over our country. I think it would be a beautiful time.
Yes, President Trump says he wants to reopen America on Easter. Which makes sense. I mean, Easter is about resurrection, after all. I mean, happy Easter, everyone. He is risen. He meaning coronavirus.
Trevor Noah of The Daily Show, and that's just a taste of what the left is saying. So you see what's happening here. As I said to you almost every day, we are almost in as much danger. We are in as much danger with the economic fallout of this virus as we are from potential deaths. And so it's a very, who can make these decisions? Do you want to be the person on the platform every day doing those daily briefings, making these decisions, working, you know, what, 16 hours a day every day? Look how tired they all look. And the president said, you know, to the CBS reporter at the end of that clip, I hope you caught it, where he said, you should be glad, because if the people up on this platform weren't working, you wouldn't have a country. But the left doesn't seem to understand that. They don't connect the dots. They somehow think that I would say a lot of people on the right don't connect the dots either. We have become a nation so indulged that it's very hard to imagine that it might all be gone in such short order, whether it's our health, you know, or our financial system or our jobs. I want to make it clear. I want to go back for something. I just want to make it clear. The reason that the Republicans accepted those bad things and that $2 trillion bill that they passed last night, the Senate, just the Senate, not the House yet, is because the Democrats held them hostage. They did. They demanded all of these horrible things in exchange for passing that bill. They asked for stuff that had nothing to do with coronavirus. Their pet projects, whether it be the Kennedy Center or a union tip-off to unions, money to their friends, and they demanded that stuff in order to pass that bill. So please remember that, because there is an election coming. Please remember what they are trying to do. They tried to put in measures for the Green New Deal. They tried to cripple the economy in so many ways and help their friends and harm this country. Remember that the majority whip, James Clyburn, in the House was overheard, and it was reported in a private meeting between where he was leading Democrats in the House on a conference call, and he said, hey, this is a great opportunity for us to bend things our way. This is a great opportunity. So that's what they're doing. And so don't forget that. Will you please not forget that? And so in the Republicans' defense, they caved on a lot of these things. They did hold back some of them. There's nothing for, I don't think there's anything on the Green New Deal in this bill. And they certainly held back at least some of those election proposals I was talking about yesterday, which included that whole thing about, you know, being able to vote at home, mandatory vote at home, mail-in ballots. With no verification of ID. It's just, and there was a lot more to it than that, but that they held that off. Instead, they just gave millions of dollars to the states to spend any way they want to on the elections. And of course, that means that California and New York and Chicago will use that money in a very nefarious way to steal the election, but good governors and good states will use it in a good way. So that's better, though, than federal control. So at least there's that. But remember the reason there's even that money there, and what the Democrats were trying to do. It's just, someone said, and I think it's true, this is looting of a different kind. It's a crisis, and the Democrats are looting the national treasury for their friends. They are looting. It's just disgusting, and it's disgraceful, and yet that's the state where we are. All right, I do want to open the phone lines. I have a lot more things to tell you, as you can imagine. The phone number is 888-589-8840. I'm sure that you have much to say, much to tell me that I don't know. Your observations, comments, happy to hear them, 888-589-8840. I want to talk to you about China for a second, because I talked to Gordon Chang, of course, last Friday about China. We did an entire show on it. If you want to, you know, you can always go back in the podcasts and listen to shows that you have missed. But do not miss Friday's show, please, because it's about what's happening in Europe, and it's pretty gripping. In China, China is claiming now that there are no new cases. So, is that true? No, we don't think that's true. Or it could be true, but it could be true for very horrible reasons. Someone sent me probably about a dozen links to videos and reports out of China about what they're doing with people, what they were doing. I don't know if they're still doing it. I don't know what the timeline is. I saw the most horrific images. I was so upset. It was hard for me to sleep this morning. I saw one family living in an apartment, and the authorities came to their door. So the family is with their phone recording what the authorities are saying. The authorities don't know they're being recorded, and you see their images too. And so the family says, you know, we are complying. It's translated, of course. We are complying, but okay, so you cannot leave your apartment, And you now are going to be, we're going to put a padlock and a chain on your door and you can't get out. And the homeowner is saying, but what if we need medicine? What if there's a fire? And the bottom line is, it's too bad. And so you see them shutting the door and chain locking it with the family inside. Well, you can't see the family. You just see the door shut and you hear them talking. I've been told that they have been actually burning apartments. I saw probably three or four at least videos on apartments and sometimes just one apartment in apartment building being burned. Oh, maybe the people, you know, maybe it's just an accident. I don't know. But the reports are that the Chinese authorities have potentially mass murdered a lot of the people that they thought might be infected. I find myself wondering if this was not an excuse. This is what totalitarians do to get rid of people that they don't like. We are also hearing that 21 million cell phones have disappeared in China. In other words, cell phones, cell phone users. Now, some are saying that that means that 21 million people have been eliminated. I don't know that that's the case. Others are saying that maybe they just cut off their service so that they could not communicate what was happening to them. And that could be true. But let me just tell you that the World Health Organization has been carrying the water for China's message on this virus. The head of the World Health Organization, whose name I can't remember, but the Dietros, whatever his name is, was handpicked by the Chinese. Now, we also know that our American Western media is carrying water for their message. I could trace, if I had the time, I could give you the talking points and the examples. We also know that China has set up a very sophisticated Twitter propaganda campaign. And Twitter, the company, is cooperating with them to get their message out. It is a very dangerous situation. Remember the reason one of the reasons why Italy is having such a horrible time is that they have been working with Wuhan, China. They have thousands of Chinese people in country with a direct link to Wuhan, China, which is where this virus started. Pompeo and Tom Cotton, Secretary of State Pompeo and Senator Tom Cotton, are both saying there will be a reckoning for China over COVID-19. We don't know if they created it as a chemical warfare. It was an accident. I don't know. But this is a post in the an Irish outlet. It's the Irish News. And it basically says, the villainy of China should never be forgotten. I wish I had time to read it, but I don't. So we'll put that on our Facebook page. The villainy of China should never be forgotten. Okay, lots to talk about, so let me go to the phones. Our phone number, I'm trying to hurry, so I need to slow down. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Let's go to Mark in Oklahoma. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Very good. Is this the Mark you're talking about, Mark in Oklahoma?
I believe so. I think there's only one Mark in Oklahoma on that board.
That's fantastic.
okay.
And thank you for what you do. One thing I wanted to say is that President Trump has the right to veto this awful bill, and he needs to veto this awful bill. I love this president. I think he's great. I'm all for 90% of the stuff he does, but he has not used his power to veto often enough. And we've been saddled with a tremendous amount of debt because he's not been willing to say no to them. I know they'll say, well, you're shutting down the government, this, that, and the other thing, and all this garbage they lay on him. But he needs to say no to this. This is, if he signs it, it's just another catastrophe. It takes the virus and sends it to a totalitarian, just a corrupt government.
Mark, let me just challenge you for a second. I'm going to talk the other way. A lot of people will not think this is a terrible bill. I'm sure a lot of the Mitch McConnell probably doesn't think it's a terrible bill. And many, all the senators voted for it, 96 of them. So all the Republicans voted for it. The president, of course, Steve Mnuchin was on with Sean Hannity last night, and Hannity said basically, a negotiation is a negotiation. You have to negotiate or you will not get Democratic votes. We had to give them something or we would not have a bill. And you and I have never been in that position. I doubt I haven't. Maybe you have. In fact, in leadership in D.C., I was like the odd man, always the odd man out, because I was not given to compromising on principle. Compromising on things that don't matter, yes, but not on things that matter. But the president is in a terrible position because this is the bill that the Republican senators have given him. Now, again, the House, remember, the House has not voted yet. I know that Congressman Louie Gohmert is going over this like a hawk, and he's not the only one. And if he has to, he will do what he can. One congressman flying into D.C. can stop the House from their passage. Right now, they're just, you know, it's called unanimous consent. Go figure. I can't explain it to you, Mark. I didn't even know they could do such a thing, pass something so huge without even being in Washington. That, to me, is a travesty. But we're seeing a lot of things now, aren't we, that we've allowed to transpire in our government while we were not watching. We trusted them, and we thought we could live our lives. We should have been able to, and trust them to do what was right, but we couldn't. And so it's become more and more corrupt, so here we are. But I want you to know that Congressman Gohmert and probably others are watching this and are probably, of course, they can't stop it in the House. Yes, they can. They can force force a vote in person. So there may be more trouble in the House than is being anticipated in television reports right now. But the president, whatever bill comes to him, then if the House passes, if they agree on text, the House and the Senate, the president is in a position where he, because of the economy and the stock market and these businesses, like you've got to talk about the airline industry and all of the devastating shocks to our financial system, he also has to think about that, Mark. While I complain about, you know, millions to the states for voting, he has to think about other things. He's got to have the broad perspective, and I don't know if I were the president, if I would veto this bill as much as I don't like it. So I don't know if that's if that helps or hurts, but I just want to put this in perspective. Thank you for your comments, Mark. Let's go to Dave in Pennsylvania. Good morning, Dave. What's on your mind?
Hey, Sandy, it's so good to talk to you. Enjoy your show every chance I get to catch it here in the big truck, because I'm one of those essential people driving the big trucks up and down the highways.
God bless you, Dave. Hey, before you tell me what you were going to say, are you able to find places to stay and food and all that? I heard there were problems for truckers.
Actually, I'm doing pretty good. It is strictly takeout orders at the restaurants, at the truck stops. They don't have the dining rooms open, of course, even though I think we are all big boys and girls, and we could keep our social distance if they'd let us. But we are getting, obviously the American public is getting a taste of what it's like to have a lot of our rights trampled on right now, which takes me off topic, because what I wanted to say, Sandy, was I was thinking about this driving across the Pennsylvania Turnpike last night, thinking about how big a trillion is. And do you know that a trillion is 1,000 billions? You get to 999 billion, you add one more, and you got 1,000 billions, and that's what a trillion is, folks. And there's two of them they want to do it to us.
Yeah. Yes, and
that's
and
a lot of zeros, and I don't know who's going to pay that bill. You know, children, our great-grandchildren?
You know, Dave, one thing that's been a topic of conversation, and I've thought about this too, I just didn't say much about it because I am a senior now too, so I do feel this way, that I would not, if I knew I were going to get the coronavirus and I were going to die, I would not want to save myself in the process, tank this country, our freedoms, and contribute to the loss of them, plus the economic disaster that may befall us. I wouldn't do that. I would choose to have my family, and if they're not in as much danger, let them go out and work, you know, because we do not want to hand to our children a devastation, financial devastation, and the loss of their freedoms. Why in the world would we do that just to save our lives? I think many seniors feel that way, and that would be an interesting thing to have you weigh in on also. Dave, you represent the best of the truckers. I'm telling you, through the years, I've had a lot of truckers listen to me, and I find that they are some of the best informed people in the country. And you are certainly an example of that. So God bless you, and stay safe. And that's a great point, and I can't conceive of the size of this bill. I really can't. Sandy Rios in the Morning. By the way, our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Sandy Rios in the Morning on AFR Talk.
A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. The Wuhan virus has interrupted American normalcy, but should life return to normal? Normal centers around and is dependent upon people wasting almost every penny they earn as soon as they earn it, sending their kids off to giant government indoctrination camps, not being self-sufficient, and not spending very much time at home. For normal to work, it is imperative that those who do things like save money, cook meals at home, grow and raise their own food, and educate their own children remain in the minority. What does that tell us about normal? Perhaps now we can create a better normal.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Peace in the midst of a pandemic? It's possible.
The Bible words are our hope.
Billy Graham.
God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. My prayer today is that we will trust in Him.
We'd love to pray with you. Call 888-388-2683. 888-388-2683. Or go to billygraham.org.
Does God exist? Is the Bible true? Does truth exist?
When people say there is no truth, I simply ask them this question. Is that true?
Join us this weekend for Cross Examined with Frank Turek, author of the bestseller, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist.
I actually think it takes more faith not to believe in the truthfulness of the Bible than it does to believe in the Bible.
Cross Examined with apologist Frank Turek, Saturday morning at 9 Central and Sunday afternoon at 4 Central on American Family Radio.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. In the debate over homosexuality, those in the LGBT crowd contend that Jesus never taught against homosexuality. It was only the uptight Apostle Paul who did that, but they're flat wrong. Paul tells us explicitly in Galatians 1 that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel, for I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Every word of my gospel, Paul says, I received directly from Jesus Christ. He manifested himself to me and taught me everything that's in my gospel. It did not come from any man. Thus, when Paul speaks, Christ speaks. So when Paul says in Romans that homosexual passions are dishonorable, shameless, and contrary to nature, that's not just Paul speaking, that's Christ himself. Did Christ teach that homosexuality is a sin? Absolutely.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. It's been said that a conservative is a liberal who has been mugged by reality. America is undergoing a similar transformation, having been mugged by the reality of the pandemic precipitated by the Chinese Communist Party. On Monday, President Trump spoke for millions of us who now realize that we can no longer do business as usual with China. He said, quote, "We should never be reliant on a foreign country for the means of our own survival. This crisis has underscored just how critical it is to have strong borders and a robust manufacturing sector. Our goal for the future must be to have American medicine for American patients, American supplies for American hospitals, and American equipment for our great American heroes. Now, both parties must unite to ensure America is truly an independent nation in every sense of the word." Unquote. Amen. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Some of our thickest-headed politicians have been passing the time by spreading nonsense about the coronavirus. People like Lieutenant Governor of Texas, Dan Patrick, who floated the idea that old people are willing to go to an early grave in order to help boost the stock market.
You know, Tucker, no one reached out to me and said, as a senior citizen,
Are you willing to take a chance on your survival in exchange for keeping the America that all America loves for your children and grandchildren? And if that's the exchange, I'm all in. And that doesn't make me noble or brave or anything like that.
No, it makes you an idiot. I shouldn't say it makes you an idiot. It reveals to us that you are an idiot. Unfortunately, the lieutenant governor isn't alone in this moronathon. The president of the United States also appears to be planting the seeds for a get back to work movement. Trump had a virtual town hall meeting on Fox News today, during which he once again defied the so-called experts who say we're in this for a while.
We're opening up this incredible country because we have to do that. I'd love to have it open by Easter.
By Easter? That's in 2.5 weeks. Even Jesus is like, calm down. Let's think this through. We're all going to die so the president can eat peeps.
All right, so that's Jimmy Kimmel. And you can see, you know, the man, I wanted you to hear that along with Trevor Noah that I played in the first segment, because I want you to have an idea of what, what the president is up against, and also what other people like your neighbors and your some of your kids are listening to. This is the poison that they are taking in. That opening up the economy is, you know, just for the president so that he can be elected, that we're still in great danger, that thousands of us will die. And as I said before, I don't know about that, but I think even New York now is seeing their rates of infection level off. And that's the hardest hit place in the country right now, in this country. So it does have an ending point. It's a bell curve, as we said. And we also know who the people in most danger are. Now, there are exceptions to that, but at this point, it still seems to be seniors. The average age, again, of death in Italy was 80 years old for the coronavirus. And so that's just an example of what we see. Dan Patrick is the lieutenant governor in Texas, and he's the one that was featured in that clip that Jimmy Kimmel was mocking, where he said that he personally said that he would not want to destroy the country and his children's future in order to prevent there even from being a chance that he gets some virus. And I'm with him. I'm just with him. I want to hear what you have to say, though. 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Lynn in Arkansas, good morning.
Hi.
Good morning.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, that what I try to do in talking to people that seem somewhat open is to tell them some of the ways that the media is distorting things, and one of them is omission. And, you know, that I saw a clip yesterday, and I don't know who the commentator was because it didn't say his name underneath. I saw it on Fox. But, you know, who made it sound like Trump, it was Trump's fault when this guy died and he drank that aquarium solution or something that had one of the ingredients, you know.
Yes.
And, you know, just to kind of show people what's going on as far as the news they're getting.
Well, you know what? Let me give you a suggestion. We'll put this on our Facebook page. There's an article this morning that I didn't get to. It's called The Top 10 Lies About President Trump's Response to the Coronavirus. Because most of the lie, it's all aimed at him. You know, it's aimed at us. Said that he's right when he says he's like the tip of the spear, but it's really about destroying those of us that love the country, that love the Constitution, and certainly love the Lord Jesus Christ, and also our Jewish friends are the target of this too eventually. But it's the top 10 lies about President Trump's response to the coronavirus. We'll put that on our Facebook page, and that'll give you you can look it up if you want. It's the top 10 lies about President Trump's response to the coronavirus. You can look that up, and that'll be a great resource for you when you talk to your friends. Lynn, thank you. Let's go to Melody in Texas. Good morning, Melody.
Hi, Sandy. I've agreed with everybody who's called in this morning, and you, and thanks for keeping us informed. Sandy, you know, I've been laid off. My boss is kind enough to pay us, you know, half of our wages. We're going to make it. So those of us who can make it without this check, and I know there's people who need it, but those of us that can make it without it, going through difficult times builds character. How can we return this money and make them put this on the principal of the debt so that our grandchildren and great-grandchildren aren't paying for this, so we don't lose our country.
Well, Melody, actually, this was Devin. He's running the board this morning. This is his idea, and I think it's a great one because we saw your question on the board. Think about this. See, if you return it back to the federal government, by the time they get any money at all, probably, you know how everybody takes a piece of this and a piece of that. Probably one of the best things that you could do that wouldn't help the Treasury, but would help your church, your local charity. I tell you, our churches are dying. I don't mean literally, but I mean right now in the short term, financially, it's so hard on them. Churches don't, for the most part, have, something to fall back on. They have weekly, monthly budgets. And so think about giving to your church or your favorite charity because they're in tremendous need right now. And you and I both know that the real solution to this is a spiritual one. So you are actually contributing to treating this problem more than that money sent back to the government. So that's really what I think about it, Melody, if that helps. Thank you, though.
Thank you.
How gracious of you. Thank you. Let's go to... I'd love to talk about something besides the financial package. I guess it's my fault because I started talking about that. But, I do want to tell you this. The phone number is 888-589-8840. This is from a listener, Sam. And you know that I played that clip for you of that gentleman who was on Laura Ingraham a couple of nights ago who had taken hydroxychloroquine. Now, you heard about that drug. My understanding is that it was an arthritis drug. And according to Sam, the FDA has known it was very effective, but for some reason it's been hard to get. But he's saying that according to what he's seeing now, that the U.S. hospitals are stocking up on this. Now, I don't think that the medical experts are claiming yet that this is... The answer or whatever or that has been proven by clinical tests that this really does affect the virus. But we know that it is really making a huge difference in lots of people's lives. And hospitals, according to this, are stocking up on it. It's hydroxychloroquine. And so, wouldn't that be something? And wouldn't it be just like God? Because as undeserving as we are, he does hear our prayers. And it's certainly true that the United States of America has more than 10 people who love God. And that was the negotiation between God and Abraham to spare the Sodom. So there are righteous men in this country and righteous women, and we are praying. And I believe that God could, God actually might respond in a very surprising way. And so that's just one little bright spot. And thank you, Sam, for sending me that. let's see. Let's go to Ellen in Ohio. Good morning, Ellen.
Hi, Sandy. This is Ellen from Ohio. Hey, I just wanted to mention, we're all watching our hard-earned savings and our retirement income plummet. And I think this is probably the greatest opportunity we have been given, especially senior citizens, to show our trust and our love for God by being outrageously generous right now. As you mentioned, to our churches, to our neighbors, who are unemployed, and especially third world countries who every day live with difficulties that we'll never experience in the United States, no matter how bad it gets. And I feel like we have to show God we love him and we trust him by being especially generous now.
Ellen, I think that's a great challenge. It really is. It really is. And I think I'm going to really seriously think about that. I've already thought about, of course, helping people, but maybe extraordinarily generous is the key there that you just said. So that's a great challenge for believers in Christ. And I'm going to take that to heart and talk to my husband about it. And maybe some of the rest of you will too. Ellen, thank you so much. Let's go to Jason, also in Ohio. Hello, Jason. Good morning.
Good morning, Sandy. Thank you for having me on.
My pleasure. So what's on your mind?
Oh, love your show, number one. Number two, I'm so glad we do not have an establishment guy. We've got a constitutional man in the White House in Donald Trump. I'm so glad. Under George W. Bush, he, during Katrina, had his troops, or at least by default, everyone, and including classical pieces of firearms. We're talking you know, old guns, but of course, modern weapons were confiscated under George W. Bush, the Republican, by the way, for those liberals who are listening. And then if we would be under Hillary Clinton this morning, we'd be in a dangerous place. Either Bush or Hillary, who are non-constitutionalists, which is the Second Amendment, the right to defend yourself. Because remember, if the Second Amendment goes, the 13th Amendment, which we all cherish, slavery just becomes abolition of slavery. It's just a theory. For once you disarm a man or a woman, you can enslave them. Thank you. Thank you. That's all I want to say. I'm thankful.
Yeah, Jason, I'm thankful too. And thank you very much for just reminding us of that. You know, some states, and I believe Pennsylvania is one of them, it's not just Pennsylvania, they're closing gun stores. And some are closing gun stores and leaving, abortion clinics open. When you live in a state and you don't pay attention and you elect, you're not involved in public decisions because you think that you should, you know, stay to yourselves. It's something that has been a problem with Christians. It still is a problem with Christians who have not been turning out to vote. So you get people who to represent you, who actually have control over your lives in ways that you could never imagine. And now you're learning it. Look at Governor Northam in Virginia, what he's doing. He's making it a crime for churches, people over 10 to meet. He's not singling out churches. They're just not putting an exception in that for churches. And there will be criminal penalties. I think I read up to $2,500 if you dare to meet with more than 10 people or 10 people, even in church. So, and then also leaving abortion clinics open. That's the kind of governance that you are faced with if you do not take your responsibility as a Christian citizen. And so if nothing else, this is a wake-up call. And remember, we have an election coming up. And remember that the left is trying to steal that election. They try to put all kinds of things in this bill, to provisions, to help them to steal the election. And so it's time to fight. It's just time to fight. That's all I can say. It is time to fight. We absolutely trust God. Absolutely. So did our founding fathers who fought the revolution. But they understood that our dads and grandfathers who fought in World War II. They didn't just stay home and pray that God would deliver the Jews from the Nazis or the European countries from the invasion of the Nazis. They put their money where their mouth was, you know, and they went over and many of them died. I think about the senators leaving, can't wait to leave Washington because they're in danger. And I thought of Patrick Henry saying, give me liberty or give me death. Liberty or give me death. Just take my life if I can't be free. Where are those kinds of politicians representing us? Where are we? Is your liberty worth so little that we just, you know, hand it over to despots and people we've elected? I'm not calling for armed rebellion. I'm calling for you to think, wake up, and let's reclaim, you know, what is promised to us constitutionally and what many people died in order to provide for you and for me. Are we really just going to give up like this? And so we can be generous, we can pray, we can hold our congressmen and senators accountable, we can support our president, we can work in the elections, we can do all of that in the same package, and I am encouraging the whole approach. And yet we, you know, like we put on the armor, like Ephesians 5 said, this is a spiritual battle. Yes, it's part of our culture, but it's also a spiritual battle. And having done all, stand. And so I'm asking you guys to stand. Whatever that means to you in this moment, whether you're our trucker friend that was driving, whether you're a senior retired nurse, whether you're in Ohio and you're on the Second Amendment gun rights thing, having done all, stand. Because each of us are called to do different things and fill in different niches. So, but the president's going to need a lot of support. He's going to try to open the economy by Easter, at least in part, in some parts of the country. I'm not sure what the plan is going to be. He's going to be crucified for that. And we have to be able to counter and support him as best we can. Sandy Rios in the morning, AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.